Committee to order, please.
Then can I get a roll call, please?
Kurt Olstead.
Here.
Tracy Carlucci.
Here.
Tim Doherty. Michael Dressler. Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Haltaway. Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Ritchko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevatich.
Here.
Michael T. Fang.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Can you please read the Open Public Meetings Statement?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Can you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to our first item of business, the approval of the minutes of June 18th.
Can you get a motion, please? Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carlucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Dressler. Councilmember Francis. Councilmember Haltaway. Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Ritchko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevatich.
Yes.
Councilmember T-Pain.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes.
The approval of the executive session minutes on the same day.
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on those? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carlucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Dressler. Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Haltaway. Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Ritchko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevatich.
Yes.
Councilmember T-Pain.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Abstain.
Brings us to the chairman's report. I'll quickly update you. Back in January, we approved the resolution to move forward with submitting some open space rules, and they just cleared today, so they will be submitted tomorrow. So that's good news for the Highlands Bank and some of the funding put in place. So that's a good thing. And the personnel committee did interview the chief counsels. We have made a recommendation, submitted a name. They're currently going through a background check, and as soon as that clears, we'll forward it to you guys. That's all I have.
Okay.
Ms. Larson?
Thank you. This is a follow-up to your first item. I would like to give a lot of credit to having the rules come through today to our new representative from the Governor's Authorities Unit, Lisa LaBeouf. She made it happen, so you know, we're all very, very grateful and thankful that she did that, because this is a huge and very, very important project for us all. So yay,
thanks, Lisa.
From my report, I'd like to highlight a few items. For petition approval, as you know, Clinton Township was approved last month. For clan conformance implementation, Mount Arlington Borough adopted its Highlands Environmental Resource Inventory and its Highlands Element Master Plan. For municipal issued exemptions, Califon Borough issued one Exemption 5, Montville Township issued two Exemption 2s, and Vernon Township issued one Exemption 8. In addition to making progress on filling the spot of Chief Counsel, we've been interviewing for Regional Planner. The first interviews, round of interviews have taken place. We're down to two candidates, and what will happen next is that they will be assigned a task so that we can evaluate their performance on the same project, and then we will be making a decision. And finally, something I hope that will make you all very, very happy is, at the moment, it doesn't look like we have enough agenda items to hold an August meeting. I don't expect that to change, so, you know, I think you can plan on having August to yourselves. Try not to look so grieved, and we'll move right along. And that concludes my report.
Great. Any members of the business?
I had a question about the
the resolution for High Bridge, but that...
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about that later. That's coming up.
See, we'll move on. That takes us to committee reports. First up is the regional master plan update, and I'll pass that off to Kurt.
Well, unfortunately, we have a little bit of a setback. Our plan was to have Steve Gunnels with us today to present the next element of the fiscal impact assessment, the real estate study. And he became gravely ill and was hospitalized just late last week. He's stable, but as of yesterday, he was still in the hospital, as a matter of fact.
He's out. Corey and I spoke to him earlier today.
So today's our first contact with him, short of an email last week that his ability to come here was compromised. And his illness was grave enough that it looks like there's going to be some no-fly time in terms of his ability to commute to the East Coast from his office. So unfortunately, the presentation obviously is delayed, and it's not going to happen at the August meeting, and we're hopeful that within 60 days, September, things are back on course for him, and we'll be able to do that presentation. Fortunately, all the other work is going to be able to progress while we're on a little bit of time delay with the fiscal assessment. And the staff is going to be doing the final TAC committee resumes and selections during the summertime. And in September, we'll be preparing for those first round of committee meetings. Beyond that, I don't think there's anything else to report. And I think, similar to the council, it looks like the committee will not meet in August, given that most of the work we're doing now is the fiscal assessment, to see the sideline, it's going to slow us down a little bit there.
All right, that takes us to plan performance, which I'll turn over to Margaret, and you might as well stay right into budget and finance after that.
The Plan Conformance Committee met on June 23rd. There are two items that we discussed. One was our procedure for Highlands Redevelopment Area designation. We have clarified some points that were in the guidelines, but were not fully elucidated, if that'd be the right word. We've worked very hard with Matt to clean them up. They're not substantive changes. In order to make substantive changes, we would have to go through a rulemaking process. That may happen in the near future, but we clarified a number of points, such as noticing requirements for property owners that were within 200 feet. If there are multiple parcels being submitted, the application has to be submitted by the municipality and things like that. All of them are spelled out in the minutes of that meeting, which are in your packet and also posted online. The second thing that we talked about is an agenda item for us today, and that is the amended agreement for funding for a fair housing plan, the town's due in relation to the recent COLA decision. But I will let James go into that fully when we get that far in the agenda. The Planning Performance Committee did review it, and then they sent it to the next step, which was the Budget Committee for their approval, which is the next thing that I'm reporting on. The Budget Committee looked at three resolutions that are on the agenda tonight, the approval to extend the fiscal year budgets, the approval for the transfer of development rights resolution for High Bridge, and again, the approval for appropriation of funds in support of updates for the RMP conformance modules 2, 3, and 7. So, we will, if it's all right, Mr. Chairman, we'll move right into consideration of those resolutions.
That brings us to consideration of resolutions, approval to extend the fiscal year budgets 2015 at the same average monthly spending level. A motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please. Do we have to put the public on that?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Does anybody in the public wish to speak on this? This is extending our temporary budget, essentially at the same spending we did for last year. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Tefe?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Voden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
No.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. That takes us to our next resolution, consideration of resolution approval of a transfer of development rights receiving zone feasibility grant for the borough of High Bridge, Hunterdon County. Can I get a motion on this?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Try to open up to the public. Just would like to point out, this grant can go as high as $40,000, but our exposure is only going to be $5,000 because if they can't, the $5,000 will determine whether they have the ability to move forward with.
Right. James made.
Does he have a report?
It's just a brief statement. I did attend the High Bridge meeting where James made his presentation to the council. They're really enthusiastic about doing a TDR receiving area. They've got a train station that they want to work with in this whole process. The initial question is whether they have enough sewer and water capacity to move this forward. So the first phase of this grant is $5,000 that's dedicated to doing that feasibility study. If they can't do it, then the process stops right there. So our exposure in this is $5,000.
That's it, really. That covers everything. The only thing I would add is that they're also looking to work with New Jersey Transit. They have a train station in High Bridge, so there might be opportunity there for transit-oriented development or transit village. So, I mean, assuming the capacities exist and they get past phase one, it could be a very good candidate.
Anything else? At this point in time, we'll open it up to the public. Does anybody wish to speak on this resolution? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir. Keep your comments for 3 minutes, please.
From my understanding, High Bridge has to go to the Clinton sewer system. And the answer to whether that capacity exists within that sewer system should be on the tip of their tongues. It shouldn't cost $5,000. They should know the answer already. This is nothing more than another practice of keeping the municipal planners, engineers, etc., busy where they have nothing else to do. It's just a giveaway. So I'm against it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Please, yes, ma'am.
New Jersey Farm Bureau. We're very glad to see another community taking a look at TDR. The more we can do that, the better. We need some good examples in the Highlands of this very important tool working. We were alarmed when High Bridge conformed its whole town. It didn't seem like it was a logical place for some development or redevelopment, and that might have made it more difficult. So we're very happy to see that they started on this. I would hope that there would be some way to buy some easements from farm landowners, but we'll hope for that anyway.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Please raise your hand. Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any comments from council members?
Yes, I have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
When we were considering a couple of months ago, I think it was, a redevelopment area, I was concerned about us committing funds for this kind of thing when we haven't received as a council any sort of analysis of the environmental indicators that have been developed through the RMP process. And, just looking, going, clicking through and going through that process myself on our website, it's very clear that there's a lot of really sensitive resources in High Bridge. And I think, of course, we have, the lake and a large flood-prone area. A lot of the town is in a flood-prone area because of the lake and the streams that go through the town. There's quite a few open waters, and there's water protection areas and wetlands that take up a lot of the borough. Also, of course, everyone who's been there knows that it's very sloped. And a lot of the steep slope protection areas are scattered throughout the town as well. And there are many
constrained, severely constrained slopes. Also, there's a lot of part, a lot of effort on the part of High Bridge for open space and to conserve land. And that certainly, you know, is really important. You can see that in their mapping. And but in terms of, you know, development down the road and what this would require in terms of concentration of intense development in order to be a TDR receiving area, you wonder how compromised those areas up against the protected areas would be.
Also, the process for that is garbage,
still, the, you know, very concerning. There's scenic resources there, and of course, you know, very special resources adjacent to it, and there's quite a few conservation priority areas, areas that were mapped as conservation priority because they should be saved, not developed. And of course, one of the biggest issues is that it is in water deficit, almost 1 million gallons a day. And certainly, you know, the issue of water availability is also affected by part of the town, the borough, being in a wellhead protection area. The tier, it is the bigger tiers. It's the 12 and 5-year tiers, but still it is a wellhead protection area, very important for recharge. And then it is a prime groundwater recharge area for almost the entire borough, which is very important in terms of recharging that groundwater. So, you know, and of course the lake management area. So it just, you know, on the face of it, looking at the environmental indicators, it seems like a very bad place to try to concentrate development. And of course there is a train station there, but that on its own is not a decider here. So I know you're prioritizing looking at the water and sewer. There are a lot of other environmental issues that need to be looked at too, but I support looking at the water and sewer first, but I don't can't imagine putting $5,000 into that when we know all of these other constraints, because very important environmental resources are going to be at risk if this becomes a TDR receiving zone. So I just feel very strongly that we should have this kind of analysis presented to the council before we consider putting money on a grant such as this. And even $5,000 is too much, and certainly $40,000, it's not responsible to be putting this kind of money for a TDR receiving zone in such an unlikely spot.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rutledge. Any other comments from Council Member?
Yes, one comment, Mr. Chairman. I can't think, this will surprise no one, I just agree with this leadership about being with me. High Bridge has a vibrant downtown with shops and restaurants and bars. It is adjacent to a train station. It's got a beautiful running trail. It is an ideal spot to have an increase in development in Hunterdon County. And because of the fact that they do preserve open space and are so sensitive to the issues that Tracy raised, makes them a perfect fit to be careful with those resources and strike the right balance between having a vibrant, developed downtown and also taking care of their natural resources. I think this is $5,000 well spent, and we've obviously got all $40,000.
Thank you. The other comments? Mr. Press.
TDR is about money. TDR is not about environmental issues. We have plenty of policy and rules and master plans and local plans and open space plans to go around. But I have a great deal of admiration for a municipality that wants to at least look at the possibility. If everybody said, well, let's protect the environment, so we're not going to do anything that involves finance, then we're stalled. So I think it's an admirable effort, and it may or may not work, but that's the only way to make TDR work is to keep looking at them. Now, I'm not saying they're all going to be successful. They might look at them and say, nah. They might look at it and say, you know what? We do have a train station. We have this area that maybe they can redevelop and add this element to it. So I think that it's a good idea.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
I only had that member James made a motion. Who seconded that?
I believe I did.
Did you? Okay. I didn't hear it. Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Daugherty?
No.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sabatin?
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefen?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next up is a consideration of resolution approval for fiscal year 2016 appropriation of funds in support of updates for regional master plan conformance modules 2, 3, and 7, and New Jersey Supreme Court decision regarding Council on Affordable Housing third round rules. This is a voting matter. I'd like to get a motion on it before I pass it off to Mr. Humphries for.
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Second. All right, can we get a second? Mike Price, second.
Thanks.
Please.
Just to give you a little background as to why we're here, for affordable housing, the regional master plan contains two specific policies that require conforming municipalities to implement the Mount Laurel decision and through that to adopt housing elements and fair share plans. In furtherance of that, the Highlands Council adopted plan conformance guidelines in 2008 that require a conforming municipality to conduct a build-out analysis through modules 1 and 2 and adopt a housing element and fair share plan. Each of those items was codified in their plan conformance petition approval as a condition, as an ongoing condition. Finally, the Fair Housing Act contains two specific sections that refer to regional planning entities, of which the Highlands Council is one. And that contains the requirement that the Highlands Council, along with the new municipalities, identify and coordinate regional housing opportunities. Moving on, as you're aware, early this year, March 10th, the Supreme Court passed a decision that basically negated all the housing plans that were previously adopted. The Highlands Council had funded $25,000 to each municipality to adopt housing elements and fair share plans, and an additional $10,000 to conduct their build-out analysis. The Supreme Court decision negated all of that work. The Highlands Act goes on to state that the RMP should be taken into consideration for the development of affordable housing obligations for the period beginning in 1999. The problem right now is municipalities don't know their obligations. In the past, under COA, COA would issue obligations, good or bad, towns knew what to deal with. Right now, there's varying guidance from courts as to what a municipality's obligation would be. So in furtherance of this, we developed draft plan conformance guidelines. The guidelines are for updates to Modules 2, which is the Municipal Build-Out Report, Module 3, which is the Housing Element and Fair Share Plan, and Module 7, which is the Implementation Plan Schedule. Each municipality is to receive a not-to-exceed amount of $25,000. That would be based on reimbursement, and the scope of work for each municipality would be required. Only conforming municipalities that are required to adopt housing elements and fair share plans would be eligible. To date, that's 49. The total allocation could not exceed $1.225 million. There'd be two deadlines involved. It would be an October 15th deadline for the updates to the build-out reports, and a December 8th deadline for an update to the housing element and fair share plan and the implementation planning schedule. Finally, grant funding could not be used for legal costs or litigation, and statutorily, the Highlands grant funding cannot be used for landowner compensation. That's a brief overview, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, as it's a really complicated and long process that got us to this point.
And it states fiscal year 16, which we're into now.
Yes.
How much was the total in the last round? Total. You know, this is 1.25 or 1.22 million. How much did the Highlands and the state give for the first round, which now is negated by the Supreme Court? Is it about $1 million? You talk about a waste of money.
It was one.
This is just unreal that we have to go through this again. Who knows? Maybe 5 to 10 years down the line, they're going to say that's no good either and throw that out.
Hey, Carl, look at it this way. We have 50 towns. Every municipality is paying for it out of the municipal budgets as well.
Right. Well, we're playing games with this whole thing with the affordable housing.
From the public first, and I'll open it up.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No problem. Would anybody in the public wish to speak on this issue? Yes, sir.
My name is Hank Klopp. I'm a farmer in Tewksbury, preservation area. On this thing here, this bothers me, and I have to agree with the gentleman up there that brought this up, is that when Mrs. Swan and Ordwich came to our town and told people in the town that if you signed up to the Highland, you wouldn't have to worry about your affordable housing. Now, I brought it up at that meeting that, you know, you're both government agencies. How can your chief, for example, if affordable housing was 100 units, you sign up to the Highland, you only had to go with 50, was an example that was brought up, which, you know, the town's bought. And also, when she was there, and, you know, this, you had a legal shield if you had a problem with any of these things. So when you got up there, no legal, you know what I mean? I think this is, you take that million and a quarter, you can make a couple farmers really happy with that kind of money. I mean, just give them an incentive to keep farming, you know, like 100 grand a piece or something. Come on, that's 10. Come on, you got the purse strings, but this is a waste.
I understand, and actually, unfortunately, we're not allowed to legally move funds from grants into acquisition or other.
Well, what has to be done to change it? I think it's time that we look at something like that.
The legislature.
Well, that's how we got in with this thing. That's how we got with the Highland job.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
My name is George Cassa. I'm a resident of Tewksbury, and I'm an owner of Shannon's Fly and Tackle Shop, California. First, I would like to thank the council for putting any kind of clarity out on the street more than exists since the 3rd or the 10th of March on where the council stands and how the Supreme Court resolution might affect what the county requirements are. So I support the resolution. I do have a question, though, with respect to the memorandum of understanding between COA and the Highlands Council. I don't see a direct reference to that and its status in the resolution. However, I do see in the meeting minutes from July 13th where this resolution was discussed that it is acknowledged. Am I to take from that that the COA Highlands Council MOU stands intact and that there is no supposition on your part that there might be any impact from the Supreme Court decision on any of its provisions?
I don't think we can speak to that.
Part of the problem is that COA isn't meeting anymore.
I know COA seemed to be defunct, but I think the Supreme Court did not abolish COA.
That's correct. The Supreme Court said COA could reconstitute itself. I don't think the council does not have any control over whether COA does that, is the problem. We're kind of in limbo as much as you are.
Okay. We're in the same spot the municipalities are. The courts have taken it over, and I would think any, unless it's a law, anything that may have been an understanding, we don't know where it stands.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I guess I really have more questions than comments. Is it my understanding that you've developed some guidelines for how to implement what the housing plan should consist of that would probably be consistent with the memorandum of understanding that was done earlier with COA?
No, they've said it's going to be based on the last round's rules. So municipalities did a plan the last time based upon growth share. Now they have to go back and redo their plan based upon the last round rules. So it's not a guidance from us, it's the guidance of the board.
So it doesn't necessarily take into consideration the constraints that were in the MOU between COA?
I can answer that. The MOU with COA largely spoke to the growth share calculations. The gross share calculations were invalidated by the Supreme Court, and COA is no, as Mr. Kelly said, COA is no longer really functioning. So what we did was develop information based on the regional master plan. What has not changed during this process is the regional master plan, and what has not changed is the Fair Housing Act. So those two items remain the same, even though COA regulations were overturned. So what this grant update does is it updates the build-out analysis to comply with the round two regulations that the Supreme Court was referring to, and as Mr. Riley just said. It also provides an update to the implementation planning schedules that municipalities continue to implement the RMP and continue to implement the resource protection requirements thereof, and then it updates the housing element and fair share plan to comply with the Supreme Court's decision and also to make sure they're implementing the resource protection requirements of the RMP so that if they choose to base any reductions in their obligations on the resource protection standards of the RMP, that could be supported.
Thank you very much. If I have additional questions, would you be the person to ask? I mean, is each person who is handling a separate municipality also dealing with the housing situation? Like, I mean, are many planners each handling parts of the whole thing, depending on what town they've worked with in the past? Or
after the public, maybe you could update them on our where our we come in, because I think we'll answer that at the end. Because the municipalities are still going to have to do all the work and do the hiring and plan.
All right, well, I support the, the resolution. I think that, unfortunately, it is essential that you do it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and I have a farm in Lebanon Township where, according to the Highlands Council, on the zillion acres that consists in Lebanon Township, there can be 20 more septic systems. Let's take a little trip down memory lane. Back when Corzine was governor, how's he doing? Anyone hear anything about him lately? I have. There was an agreement with Swan and Corzine about what I call the COA bribe, where if towns who have land in the preservation area opt into the Highlands Master Plan, they would use the science, and I use the word loosely, developed by the Highlands Council to determine their build-out analysis, as opposed to the science developed by COA to determine the same thing. The numbers were vastly different. So the towns had the opportunity to pick whatever science they chose. Those towns who had land in the preservation area decided to opt in, throwing many of their landowners under the bus for the sake of keeping poor people out. Nice. Really sweet. And now you're throwing another $1.2 million to keep this science intact. Lebanon Township has signed on to this panicky thing that the towns are going through to keep their COA obligations down, because we all know New Jersey does not like poor people. We like to create them, but we don't like them to move in. So I'm adamantly against this $1.2 million. On top of whatever else has been spent, to create your own science to suit your own needs. I'm against this resolution.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this resolution? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any council members? You want to continue, Carl?
Well, the question I asked before, James told me the answer is $1.5 million. That's what was given out for the first round.
Yeah, I have a comment. This is another opportunity to expose the lie, and usually that's just around this hyperbole, but it was proof. The former executive director of the Highlands Act came to my town when I was mayor and said, Rob, sign up for the Highlands Act, lock, stock, and barrel, and we'll cut your co-obligation in half.
There you go.
And our town, median household income is $54,000 a year. A family of four at $58,000 is COA housing. So my town was half COA. So it wasn't a matter of keeping poor people out, it was a matter of taxing my people to build houses for people of the same income level. And my council bought it. Lock, Stock, and Barrel, sure, we'll jump into the Highlands Act. We'll put a little piece of the planning area and preservation into the Highlands Act. And then when we got sued by a developer, because we vacated that builder's remedy lawsuit judgment of compliance, the Highlands Council, not that it's the fault of anyone here, didn't support my town. And at great expense, they fought this litigation. We read about it in papers. Hinderman litigation taking place at Henry County Courthouse. All because my council was snookered by the former leadership here of this council. It was a bribe to get towns to jump in to comply with the Highlands Act, plain and simple. And to see us try to spend another $1.2 million down the same rat hole just doesn't strike me as being a wise expenditure of money. This really frosts my, this gets me very aggravated, this whole color thing. The Highlands Council signed a memorandum of understanding with COA that basically said, join COA, join Highlands, we'll cut your obligation in half. The problem with that is that did not carry with it the force of law. It was not enacted by the legislature. It was not ever tested before a judge. So the housing advocacy groups in the city immediately denounced the memorandum of understanding and were going to be ready to challenge it in court. And Lord knows what a judge would decide. How do you choose between the environment and low-income housing? I don't know how the state judiciary would have figured that one out.
It
would have been very fun to watch, yes. So I understand why staff's brought this forward and is encouraging to support this, but it'll be a cold day in hell before I vote yes on anything like this will come up from my own hands.
Any other comments from council members?
All right. Do we have to do this right now?
No. It's
what is the downside to just waiting?
I'll tell you this. There's very little things. Well, the act is the act. That's why we're here, whether you supported it outright or not. One of the things that we're obligated to under the areas that James pointed out earlier is to give that. Those municipalities that did opt in, this is actually something they're getting back in support from that act. So while I don't agree with the money having to be spent on yet another chase for COA, it is what it is. So the legislature actually takes action and gets control of this. We're not playing this game back and forth. So 49 municipalities opted in. Some were in issues like yours, which absolutely, you know, our township said no, go away for that same person with the same baseball bat. But it's disturbing. But this is actually support for the municipalities to actually get done what they have to get done. They're going to go spend this no matter what. Every municipality is going to go spend this no matter what. They have to. And the act supports this. It's funded for this. Why would we take that away? Those municipalities that, you know, that hurt property owners and continue to hurt their own population.
The reason not to is because state is loosey, we're Charlie Bradford in football. And we're going to throw $1.2 million to try to kick that football and we're going to be pulled out from us again. And I don't think we should invest in any of everybody we have, any of any control over, we should not be investing in this effort.
Partial statutory.
Let's not today. Let's wait until all of this is flushed out and settled and not waste the money today. I mean, the legislature could change the rules. The code could reconstitute and try again. Very much a influx situation that we're trying to throw $1.2 million at.
Which was statutorily supposed to. And court cases are already coming out that's scaring the hell out of every municipal attorney right now.
I understand.
And we don't know which way they're going to go. And they're going to have different opinions. Throughout the area. So
this $25,000 is legal costs or litigation.
This is not towards legal. It's zero towards legal. 100% guaranteed. And that was spelled out.
No, I understand. That's my point. This doesn't help their legal rights or relations.
That's something they're obligated to
Municipalities are getting bulk letters from developers.
Saying we're interested in developing your town.
Yes.
So they can go to the door. I get that.
Put us on we're putting you on notice. We want to be part of the village remedy lawsuit. There's a center map to every town. You know, they're just waiting to jump on this. We don't know where it's going to go. So why would we tell a municipality that, when, you know, just wait, something might get better later.
They're loving that. They're loving that. You and I are arguing.
Yeah.
But what is that $1.2 million solve?
It's going to help the municipalities that opted in.
Developers' remedies.
Legal question. Yeah, so the Supreme Court came down with the judgment March 10th. They also said to municipalities you had to file a declaratory judgment by July 8th. I'm assuming, legal, that means all municipalities. That doesn't mean the Highlands municipalities got pulled out of that, correct?
Municipalities weren't obligated to do that.
You're not obligated to.
No municipality was obligated.
But what happens if a municipality does not file a declaratory judgment? They're
at risk of being sued. Yeah.
So, how many of these municipalities have filed a declaratory judgment? Do you have that information?
It's hard to track because we're not.
It's not hard to track. You could just easily call up your town attorney. Municipality and find out. We filed ours before July 8th.
On record now, I have the 32 that filed. We keep coming trickling in.
So if you have 32 that filed already out of 49, why are we doing it? Why are we doing it?
Didn't do it.
You have 32 that already filed. So you're looking to get money to a municipality, right? To basically what?
Don't have to still have to go out and find out what that number is. You know, I can't speak for every town.
The numbers, by not filing that, because the legal, let me ask the lawyer this. If you don't file that declaratory judgment, you could be looking at 1,000 COA units in a municipality that under round two had 150.
I mean, hypothetically, I have no idea.
Astronomical.
But that being said, the town still has the plan. It's planning money. So if they want to upgrade that element,
but in 25,
we support them.
But because it's 25, 30-something municipalities in the Highlands already filed a declaratory judgment. They already did their plan.
No.
Well, then before I would vote on something, because I would know who did their plan, who filed a declaratory judgment, who already has their fair housing share plan in place. Because why would you do that if
75%? That's why they gave you 5 months, because they knew that plans had to be worked out. They didn't give you to July.
They gave it to July 8th.
To December to finish. You have 5 months to finish your plan.
July 8th to file a declaratory judgment.
But not necessarily your point.
And they're serious about that date.
I know. That's why it's important. That's why I don't want to hold it.
Right. That's if you look at the time frame we have for this, we want municipalities to finish up in December because that is the court-ordered time frame. And that gets back to Chairman Alstead's question, like, why are we looking at it tonight? Because it is really, really time-sensitive.
Yeah, this is, and if we don't have an August meeting, you know, there's not going to be enough time for municipalities to get that work done.
Well, you're soon.
Well, they'll go out and do it on their own.
Okay.
Their own funding.
Okay. Right.
But my point, one of the benefits of opting in that I think you would support, that's why, would be your town did. Now they're going to be able to get the benefit of that planning funding that they're not going to have to spend.
So the first bribe wasn't right, but now the second one.
You want to back up and talk about the act before the vote?
I'm happy to do so.
I think we'll be on the same page.
When the town wants to play in our regional master plan, we need to support them. Plain and simple. And if they have to update any element, then we need to support them. That's it. It doesn't matter what the element is.
The premise of your statement, though, is that they want to. And I would contend that most of the towns that didn't want to.
They had no choice. How do you know?
Because they're under duress from this council when they leave their house.
But we have to support them.
No, we don't.
If I could just clarify a few items. First, municipalities aren't required to file declaratory judgments. The impact of not filing a declaratory judgment is largely believed to be that simply the municipality would no longer be in the driver's seat. It wouldn't necessarily open them up immediately to builders' remedy lawsuits. Secondly, municipalities throughout the state are not required to comply by filing a housing element and fair share plan or a declaratory judgment. However, in the Highlands, the RMP and plan conformance petitions require municipalities to adopt housing element and fair share plans. Nowhere else in the state is that required. Furthermore, the Fair Housing Act requires, has specific requirements for municipalities in the Highlands region that requires a 20% set-aside on every new housing unit constructed. That's unique to all regional planning entities and is unique to the Highlands. Municipalities need to update their housing element fair share plans to implement those. I think one of the most important items to think about, and I'm not trying to support one side or the other, but what you need to think about is that all the planning
work, it's my subject.
All of the planning work we do here is somehow involves wastewater capacities, water capacities, environmental restrictions. They're all legislatively required by the Housing Act, right? This affordable housing obligation is a constitutional obligation. It can become the driving factor for every municipality over and above the RMP restrictions, the wastewater restrictions, the water restrictions. If a municipality had adopted, say we paid for a sustainable economic plan element or something like that, that directed growth towards a specific area of municipality and recommended that the scarce wastewater and water went to that economic development, if they didn't have a housing element fair share plan in place, a developer could come in, like you said, you know, the ones that have mailed in the things can come in and ask the court for that water and wastewater capacity. So all the planning work that's been done up to that point is now being driven by the developer. I mean, that's the reason why those goals and policies are in the RMP.
And part of the opting in, you know, there wasn't just the COA aspect. That's not why we opted in. We opted in when our DEP permits were threatened. So the hammer was coming one way or another.
The problem is, you know, very clear. You know, the New Jersey Supreme Court is doing what people have feared the U.S. Supreme Court is going to do for years. They're legislating themselves. They're telling us exactly what we have to do. The legislature, this should be a creature of the legislature.
Absolutely.
I'm tired of the Supreme Court, you know, telling us what we can do and what we can't do, where they have no business being involved. I'm voting no as a protest on the process itself, because it's an absurd process.
Well, you're here.
Mr. Chairman?
At the expense of municipalities that are in there. Yes, Ms. Garlicher.
Every municipality is in the same boat here, and I feel very strongly that the Act foresaw the need to put in our environmental constraints to the forefront. And we have an RMP that recognizes that development is limited if we're going to protect those environmental indicators. And the Act saw that, and it provided for money to go to municipalities. This is not an issue of opting in. I think you're conflating the issues, Mr. Walton. It's not an issue of opting in. It's an issue of making sure that the environmental constraints that are necessary in order to protect the Highlands water are protected, despite the need to have a fair share housing plan. So I think I'm going to support this.
Any other comments? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
No.
Councilmember Francis.
Yeah.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember T. Fank.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
No.
Councilmember Walton.
No.
Chairman Riley.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the last thing I thought
we were going to argue about.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, James. Good job. I like the way you stayed right on the radar there.
I suppose you spoke every
about 6 months. I suspect we do.
Yeah.
That brings us to our last item of business, since we do not have an executive session this evening, and that's public comment. We'd like to remind the public to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. If you have anything you would like to say, please raise your hand. We recognize you. Anybody in the public? Yes, sir.
Tank 1 by Norman Tewksbury. I'm in the preservation area. One of the things I brought up last week was the tax form for land assessment. I know I'd answer any questions that anybody had. It seems like a lot of the council didn't even realize what the farmers have to go through to be eligible for their farmland assessment. So my name is registered here, so is my telephone number. And in the bottom of your thing, it says, when feasible, we'll follow up. I haven't heard a thing. So I'd like to know what the opinion is of this council on this ridiculous thing that we keep having to do every year. It's year in and year out. We have to have it in by August 1st. So, if it's a good farmer, we're doing it. But it's ridiculous. I mean, we're in a preservation area. The land has lost its value. There's no question about it. I got a thing from Riker's Realtor, and in the first 6 months of this year, there have been no land sales in my town. And last year, there was 5, and they were 3-acre lots. So that's what your land sales are. I mean, nothing's happened to people. And, the state is the first one that comes down on anybody on this thing. And it's time that things change, because the state are the biggest violator. They don't take care of anything. But we have to. We're the stewards of this land. We're paying the taxes on it. We're paying the insurance on it. And we're farming. Come on. And there's something here that, if you're in business, you have to make a profit. And with the way the thing is set up, it's very difficult.
I asked one of my legislators to check into it after our meeting yesterday. I'll ask one. So I'm expecting to hear something.
Okay, I appreciate that. Anybody else?
I will get back to you, and I apologize if it wasn't busy month. It's actually Kurt, a farmer himself.
Yes.
And I were just talking.
Well, he's got to do it, too.
Yes.
I got loads of them to do right now.
Yeah. I mean, you can
but
spend.
It's not going to go away, Hank. It's in the Constitution, and everything's tightened up. And we don't need to debate it, but I think that this council does not have the capability of changing the Modern Land Assessment Act or the reporting requirements that we have to do as those who qualify. It's just not going to happen here. We don't have the authorities. It requires a legislative change.
Well, this council could recommend it.
That's true. And I do owe you a phone call.
Okay. I appreciate it.
I'm going to call him instead.
Okay, call him first. But I mean, it was back in 64 to stop development. That's what it was.
It was the first one.
You can't develop the land. It's worthless. We're sitting there. Can't do anything.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Since you folks have decided to take the rest of the summer off, I'm not saying that's a bad idea. George Stafford, I'm from Wharton, and I'm with the Highlands Coalition. I'm assuming that your next meeting is going to be sometime around September 17th, 18th, somewhere in there.
I think it is.
Well, we have our Highlands Festival coming up. We're at the bigger spot now. We outgrew the village. We're down the street at the bigger spot, so we invite you all to come. We have another event coming up. Mr. Ruka and I will be on former Speaker Hytayan's radio show on WRNJ, available worldwide on the internet and just barely outside the parking lot in Hackettstown, on August 5th. So, if you really want to hear some, I think you guys go at it around here, you ought to see us and the former speaker on the radio. And one other thing, the force of law, we talked about the laws overcoming what the environmental concerns are in the Highlands and, COA, and we're worried about the housing for poor and middle-income people. And we're really talking about developers coming in and forcing towns to let them put a bunch of houses on. You got two or three off to the side that are on the border of the next town over that are for the low and moderate income that turn out to cost $250,000 a pop. But there are laws that override the state of New Jersey, the legislature, the Supreme Court, and the state of California finding out what those laws are. And those are the laws of physics. The state of New Jersey needs water, and we need to be able to deal with the sewage we have. We only have so many so much time, so much area, so much water. So we can kick around all the legalities we want, but the bottom line comes down, you ruin the development we already have if you ruin the water, and we don't have any problems with the sewage, and if we have runoff problems. A nice article about 10 days ago in the New York Times where the state of California has to change everything because their policies have been incorrect in the past. So I think we have a good policy here. We'll leave it alone. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Please raise your hand. Yes.
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I'd like to give you a little heads up because I've attended the three hearings on the Haberman site in Hampton at the Hunterdon County Courthouse. And one of the provisions of that litigation settlement agreement is that it is required that a map adjustment will be made for this site, which is 40-some acres along the Musconetcom River on a farm field. And if you want to prevent a development that could never be allowed under today's regulations to occur, that would increase the population of Hampton by 60%, you would enforce a provision of the regional master plan and go by, keep them to the provisions of making a map update from protection zone or conservation zone to existing community zone, which is a very hard bar. This agreement could not be facilitated. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? I'm sorry.
David Choate, Lebanon Township. Earlier on, Mrs. Levins mentioned the cost to the giving of grants to or exemptions by towns. There was no mention of the cost for the grant application, for the exemption application. I'd like to know what these fees were charged by the towns to issue these exemptions and what the exemptions were. Also, at the last meeting, I asked for the parameters of the, quote, empowerment given by this council to others, particularly the Fenimore matter. I'd like to know what the parameters of this, of these empowerments are and what your authority is for giving them. I asked it last month. I expected a response. I didn't get it. And this whole thing that the $1.2 million that you just spent this evening is really just nothing more than what I consider just taking care of your own by the Highlands Council staff who recommends all this kind of stuff to their municipally employed planners, engineers, and so forth. It's just another incestuous grant. It's another way of just taking care of your own. And I've seen it for years. It's continuing as it did tonight. Well, I'm sure you'll be glad to hear that Eileen Swan and Canada Swan sold their house. They're not in Lebanon Township anymore, and nobody seems to know where they are. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue?
Yes,
sir. I believe there's a couple federal comments coming up, so I'm going to.
Why don't you ask if there's anybody else that has comments about anything?
Anybody else have anything else besides any federal issues?
Yeah.
Seeing none.
Okay, we're going to switch to the public hearing portion for Fenimore, Oxbury Township. Did you want to make a comment?
Good afternoon, Bob Schultz from Randolph. I was wondering, I'm sorry, I apologize for getting here late, but I was wondering if there was an update from Fenimore Water Commission.
what we're doing is trying to get a meeting together. It's been difficult with the summer schedule. Everybody's on vacation at different times. I'm going on vacation. When we're able to set up something, we'll notify you.
I saw there was a minutes posted from the last meeting with the RHA, so thank you. Thank you for that. That's all.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Kathy Panetta, 14 American Avenue, but right now living in Dover. Judge Moore, I'm sorry. You said you were going to try to get a meeting together for the residents, just to let them
just,
know.
They just addressed that.
End of July, beginning of August. Now, without an August.
Well, we had the executive director was on vacation for the last couple of weeks. I'm going on vacation this coming week.
I'm going on vacation
sure.
September, so it's
got to be after. Well, if I may interject here, one thing that is a new element that is going to impact things is that REACT has filed to be a party of the lawsuit. So that's something that we haven't flushed out with our legal people yet in terms of how we're able to interact with REACT as possible litigants in the lawsuit. So we just want to be on the record that that's a little bit of a game changer, perhaps. We don't know what it particularly means in terms of the way that we interact, but the fact that that is out there now is something that we have to consider and vet more fully so that we can be sure to protect the interests of the Highlands Council from a legal perspective.
I'm sorry. So what you're saying is that the whole stream committee
We're just stating that. That's one more consideration in terms of what we need to do as we convene the next committee meeting, is that there is now this fact that you guys had filed to intervene, and because we are potential litigants, you know, we need to vet with our legal people how to proceed in terms of how we interact with participants or members of REACT.
So there might be no public meeting with the residents of Roxbury now?
Did I tell you there was going to be a meeting?
He's just said he
has... Did I tell you there's going to be a meeting? It's going to be a meeting.
Thank you.
However, there could be conditions on that meeting. You know, what we're able to do and how we're able to do it, whether it's a hearing, whether it's just comments, you know, that is all predicated upon the legal recommendations of our council. And we have...
But there's still going to be a recommendation from the steering committee?
Yes.
Oh.
Anybody else like to speak? Yes, sir.
I'm Christopher Ratz, Roxbury Township, 16 Cliff Court. I also serve as the township and manager in Roxbury. And I want to just first of all say thank you very much for hearing me this afternoon and for all the efforts that you have been putting forward for Roxbury Township and our residents. I think we all can agree that we're all in the same interest of protecting the residents in regards to both clean air and clean water. And again, I want to extend my thanks for all the efforts and all the work that you've been doing on our behalf.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Roxbury? Being none, council members, anything else? Seek a motion to adjourn?
Move over here.
Second? All those in favor?
I see you.
Motion carried.